Hello, everybody.
And welcome back to Meet Me at the Drama Block.
Yes, and today we have a special guest, our first ever guest on the podcast.
Oh my gosh.
It is
hello.
Phoebe Hardy. Yeah.
I think I probably a bit early there, but hello.
Oh, eager. How are you, Phoebe?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, thank you.
How are you both?
Thank you. I'm doing great. Thank you for asking.
It's stunning. Really I'm awesome. Very glad.
So, as we said earlier, this episode, we are talking about mental health and all things around that and just having a good old chat, to be honest.
Exactly. I'm quite excited about talking about mental health because I feel like we are properly breaking the barriers here and talking about something that's very stigmatized.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Needs to be spoken about and stop. We have to stop putting it in a box. It's an imperfection because we all deal with it all in different ways. We
get it out of the box, get it out, put it on show.
Yeah, exactly. So should we just begin with like just a chat about our own mental health? Just like how do you guys inhibit stress? Like what ways? Because I'm actually quite a bit of a worrier, to be honest, and I'll hide it excellently, which is just not a good thing to do. But I hide it really well. What about you guys?
I feel like my mental health has definitely progressed since I was younger. I feel like I always kept it quite hidden, didn't really know what it was because no one really spoke about it. I feel like you would have that like butterfly feeling. We would just think, oh, it's just butterflies, it's fine. It's actually just pure anxiety that you've built up. You haven't recognised it. And even anything that's kind of caused that anxiety that you don't even realise is like a symptom. So like tiredness or feeling lethargic or feeling like you just don't want to speak to anyone or just that constant feeling that you're just not good enough. Now we've definitely had a lot of stresses and anxieties, especially when we were at school. Feel like that's a huge thing, especially when we were doing our exams and A-levels and the whole COVID stuff, that we've kind of started to sit down, recognise our behaviours, and then kind of was like, oh, see, that's anxiety, that's depression, that's this, that's that.
I think during lockdown and the entire period of COVID, what I've noticed is that a lot of people, it's given them a time to self-reflect about their own issues and their own mental health and stuff. And so I think for me personally, I'm definitely like you. I'm a worrier, I'm a stressor, but I'm a very chatty person. I go on and on a bit. But when it comes to kind of my own mental health issues, I am very quiet about it. I do keep them to myself and I really should talk more. And it's so important. Like, it's so difficult to make that step to go, you know what, this isn't right. I need help. But once you make that step, it all makes sense. So like for anyone like who struggles, like there are so many people out there who have the exact same like issues going on as you. They may be slightly different situationally, but everybody struggles. And so this is why it really needs to be destigmatized. Like we need to talk about it.
That's
absolutely
it. Agreed. And I think as well, like for me, sometimes I'm so focused. I'm one of those people that's like, so focused on everyone else and my surroundings, I never focus on myself, which is not something to do. Like you shouldn't put yourself second, just put yourself first more often than none. There we are. But like I've had times where I've not realized I've been stressed out because I've not taken any notice of myself, and then my body has reacted in a way. Like basically, I don't think I told a story on here before. I've told it many times though, because I was like, whoa. Like I didn't realize I was stressed around like when COVID first hit, because everything just like stopped. And I was like, clearly quite anxious and like stressed out, and I didn't recognize that in myself. And so I was sick.
Oh, like, really?
I was actually physically sick, and I didn't need to be sick. I got myself in a bit of a panic, and like I don't like being sick either, so that just made me more panicked. And then that happened like a couple times around the beginning of COVID and like the school ending and everything. And I was like, whoa, I need to look after myself a whole lot more, because I realized to myself that I was stressed out and not all right. It's just interesting how it can like come out, I think.
I also think with you speaking about that, though, then, is because COVID definitely did hit, and when we were at school, me and Phoebe speak about this all the time, is literally like we were told COVID was going to be probably 3 weeks, then it went to 3 months and all that. And before then, we had mocks, we had the stresses of that. You had your big Oliver production. Yeah. You were like doing rehearsals for that, dance show.
Auditions,
exactly. So you can't go from this huge, like, raring to go attitude, which you were, where you were anxious, but also you were motivated because you were on adrenaline so much, to then just be sat at your house doing
nothing. And suddenly nothing.
Exactly. You, like, physically, your body can't just go, what? Because it has to come down, and we were at such a high increment. So to come down, your body is obviously going to have that reaction. And unfortunately, that was you being sick. Do you know what I mean?
It's like when you're running really, really quickly and you can't stop yourself, you kind of fall over.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't run, but, you know, I've seen it. No.
But if you run, then maybe you understand.
The best thing is that we missed our last track day. And then that year, wasn't it our last year, they cancelled cross country? So we had to do cross country for like 5 or 6 years. These first years came in, and we'll never have to do cross country ever in their life.
No.
I mean, to be fair, I think I've only ever technically done it twice. So. I used to be like, I'm not doing it. My parents were like, she has a doctor's appointment. I'm one of those ones. I was like, I'm not doing this. But I used to get really stressed out because of it, because I used to hate running. Yeah. I hate running. And so when I'm told I have to run a lap around the field, which is really weird, I used to stress myself out. And so I used to get panic attacks because of it. And so my parents were just like, no, this isn't worth it. I was like, I don't want to do it. I was like, no. But yeah, honestly.
Also, I'd be like conscious of letting other people down.
Yeah.
I'd just be like I get most anxious about being late. Not for myself, but other people. Because I don't want to let them down. So I'm so anxious on the way to things. Like on the way to one of my auditions, actually last year, I was so anxious before. Like, actually, like, I remember last year, like, I could hardly eat my breakfast some days when I was nervous because I just would, like, gag. That sounds really strange, but I just would.
I get you.
That day, I had that really bad. I could hardly eat anything, which is not good because you need the fuel. And I felt so ill on the way, and I was on the train, and I felt like I was going to, like, have a bit of a panic because I got really hot really quick, and I really needed air, and there was this tiny gap between the doors. Quite quiet, like. I know, it was awful. But then once I got there, I was fine because all I was stressed about was being like not on time.
I feel like with that time thing, do you ever get this thing where you're going to something that you're kind of you don't know what's going to happen? So, yeah. Like for me, it was like going to uni visits, and it was I would be checking this piece of paper that said, oh, it's like 9:15 start. And I thought like this piece of paper was lying to me. Like internally, I was just like, I'm late. I get there and there's like so many people. I was like, damn it, we're late. A piece of paper cannot be lying to me, but I think it's just this like this urge that like, you can't be late.
I book something in or like I have an appointment and I have to check it like at least 10 times. Like, yes. Even though in my head I'm like, right, okay, I've got a 10 a.m. appointment. I have to go for 10. I'm like, even though I know it's 10 a.m., I'm like, by the way, is it actually 10? Like, I'm not sure. And then I have to work back in my head, like time is like, right, it's 10. So I have to leave the house by 9:30, which means I have to be up at like 7. Like, it's just.
I do that every day with uni.
Every day.
I check. And I'm like, it's definitely this time. And it's like. Yeah.
Because I hate the idea of missing something or like forgetting something and it's really important and being late, and I just hate that feeling, honestly. Yeah.
Do you think it's kind of been heightened because we've kind of been doing online school or online uni for you guys? Like, because everything's on computer, it's like not in like a physical form, so it can kind of change all the time. Like, for instance, our exam results were supposed to be out at 8 and we got them at 9.
I felt so sorry for you when that happened because I did IB, so mine were released at like 8:01, but I think I fell asleep again, so I actually ended up waking up at 8:05, and I was like, oh shit, I was like, they're out. I was like,
I think as well a lot of ours went into our junk. Like mine genuinely went in my junk, and I was like, I never got the original email, and I suddenly got an email from like a different people saying you should have already got your results, and I was like, I haven't. And then I checked my junk like not that long after, and I was like, oh, that's not right.
What went into your junk?
I don't know
that's
why it did, but
so
it did.
Ridiculous.
But I don't know if it has been heighted. I think I've always just been like that. Like I remember being in primary school, and I'd be so stressed out about getting told off. Like that would worry the most.
I hate getting told off.
Being late, and I hate being told off. Yeah. So then I got to senior school, and I told myself, "Calm down, Emily." I was 11. Jesus Christ. But yeah, it is mental, because like I'd never really realized like how much of, I've said before, I think on here, how when I was younger I was scared of security alarms, and again scared of being in trouble, you know.
Yeah. Just on the edge,
like, because yeah, you just don't want to. I hate getting in trouble because I just don't want to have disappointed yeah, anyone.
Yeah.
And so like being told off is so awful. Like you, like I always end up feeling like sick inside, and I hate it. Like I hate feeling guilty, or I can't do anything that like makes me feel guilty, because I just feel so bad. Like my parents have done a really good job at raising me to not do things. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not the type to sneak out or anything like that, because I'd be out like, oh my god, what if this goes wrong? What if that goes wrong? I just could not do it. I just can't.
No, neither. And I think as well, I constantly think of all the risks and the effect it would have on everyone else. Like if I snuck out and I went missing, then they'd never know. Or like if I drove out at night and I didn't tell my parents, then I had a car crash and died, then they'd never know. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Drastic thoughts. But like it's a safety precaution, and it's good that we don't do that. So
yeah. This thing that is definitely ingrained in us from such a young age, that like that fear of disappointment and that guilty feeling that like you've got to do really well. Because like for instance, when you're at the school, your teachers, they were probably the best. Like for instance, Mr. Gonzalez was like the best chemistry teacher. Oh,
I love Mr. G.
Like,
what a lad.
He was just the most amazing. Like he was just meant for teaching, right? And if you got a bad grade, you would be like feel guilty, and you'd go, damn it, because he's such a good teacher. Like you feel like you're disappointing him. Whereas, and then you feel guilty, so you're going to revise and revise and revise, or not go to the study sessions because you want to prove that actually you are a good teacher, but I just don't get it. That kind of thing. And obviously, not all teachers are like that, but definitely, our generation has definitely felt that we're not good enough, or we've got to compete. And that's with everything, that even like uni things, or going to drama school, or apprenticeships. Like nothing that we do sets us apart from anyone else, because we are still competing against each other.
We're all taught that like it's always going to be a competition. Mm-hmm. You're always going to have to fight against the other people to be the top of your year for grades. You're going to have to fight to get those uni places. You're going to have to fight to get that job. You're never allowed to be like but then you have to have your individuality in order to stand out, but you still need to be better or on the same level as your peers, because otherwise you're never going to make it. It's setting us, I feel like it kind of, that kind of mindset sets you up for failure, because you always constantly feel like you need to do more in order to reach other people's expectations. Like we've been put into this competition that we didn't ask to be in. Like,
yeah, I think, you know, like it's recent, because also like a lot of the time, because I think at drama school everyone's like, oh, it must be so competitive, and it's actually not, because I think they remind you so often that you're your own artist and you all bring something different. Like I'm not going to get cast in something that one of my friend is, because we look so different, we bring different things, and we like act so differently. But it's difficult to not see it as a competition in some things, obviously. But like, yeah, because I think as well with drama school is that people think it'll be competitive, but it actually isn't, because they remind you so often that you are an artist of your own. And also I think it's good because everyone is come at the same level, and yeah, there'll be people better at movement than you, or dance or singing or acting, or not acting, but well, yeah, possibly. Like in certain roles or things, or can do things better, but everyone has their weaknesses as well. And I think that's same in life. Everyone does have their weaknesses, but people just don't want to own up to them because they think they're going to be.
But then you've also got to remember that you have your own strengths as well that other people won't have.
Yeah.
So like, although you might not be as good as one person in something doing this, you are so good at this thing, which like a bunch of people can't do.
Yeah. Mm. And like so many people, they could come to you for help. And I think it's twisting it into a positive, like instead of seeing them as a competitor, turn to them and be like, oh, could you teach me how to do this? Because you're really good at this. And I think it's so often, I'm sure in everything, like I get imposter syndrome all the time. Mm. Just like, oh, they're so much better than me. I can't do that. I wish I was like that. And then you have to remind yourself, like, no, you're also there for a reason. And you do, you're just as good, and you can be just as good. And our singer teacher may just read this book by Matthew Saeed called Bounce. It is quite a good book, to be honest, because it reminds you that there's like, you know, like child geniuses that seem like they're so good at tennis.
Yes, like 6-year-olds who are doing like math quizzes. Yeah. And I'm just like, I don't know that. Just like, not fair.
They're seen as geniuses, but it's just because they've had so many hours of practice compared to everyone else. And I think it's a good reminder that like, if you put in like purposeful practice regularly, then you will be just as good. But I think people just back down and are like, no, like, they're just better than me.
I do that to myself sometimes though. Like you think like, oh, I'm like, I'm bored, or like I want to try this new thing. And if I'm not good at it straight away, I'm like, well, there's no point in this. Why am I wasting my time doing this?
Yeah.
Then where I could have like practiced and developed that, I just don't, because I feel defeated. I'm like, oh, I'm not good at it straight away. But you're never going to be good at it straight away. So, you know,
because I feel like also like it's such an important concept, because when I learned this in psychology, it's like the concept of self-actualization. It's like that feeling of contentment, and you're never going to reach that and feel fully content until like your mental health and your need to stop seeking approval from others is just balanced. And I feel like even like in industries where it's like business, very business orientated, even if you're the top, you're never going to feel like you're the best, because there's always more money you can generate, or there's more, or you can be a millionaire, but then you want to be a billionaire. Like there's never that feeling of just full on contentment. And I feel that is so important to teach kids, that in order to fully like be accepted as a wholesome kind of person and character, you need to evaluate yourself, evaluate your strengths and like your not negative traits, but like, do you know, your weaknesses, and then seek other people, but then go to those people that are better than you and go, would you mind helping me there? Or would you we can do like an exchange of like, I'm good at this, so I'll help you with that, and you know, that kind of thing. But we're never not, because we can't see fault in ourselves. We can't just be like, no, I'm bad at that, because then we get put on this thing where we get very negative, in a very negative headspace, or we just get in this spiral where we start to dislike this person because they're better, you know. And starts being very bitchy towards this kind of behavior, like, and it's just always that competition. It's going to drive us all mad. And I think it's so important to just talk about it. Like, yes, you're good, and I don't like you because of this, but that's something you've got to work on yourself.
That's not the issue with the other person. It's your own issue.
That's so important. Yeah.
It really is.
Well, do you know what? I'm going to do a little segue here.
Go on, then.
So do you know what? I was watching, obviously being at home, have nothing to do. So I'm watching TV. And in the mornings, obviously, when I'm watching Loose Women and there's like the adverts, there's always this advert called Kavissa, which is like a shop which like it specializes in shapewear and clothing for mid-sized people, if not curvy people. And the range is like, apparently you're plus size when you're a size 14. And I was like,
that's an absolute joke.
If your average size of a woman in the UK is a size 16, then how can you just like all the people before that are supposed to be skinny, or skinny doing quotation marks there, or slim, and anyone that's above that is then supposedly curvy. However, size 12 to 16 is mid-size. Surely, if your average is 16, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I also thinking of the word curvy is an interesting phrase.
Yeah.
Because now it's been like said to be, it's more related to plus size, which is fine.
Exactly.
But like some people can be slimmer and have curvy structure, you know, like really
like hourglass figures.
Yeah. And I'd then say, oh, they're curvy. But then people might take that as like, oh, you mean I'm larger? When, no, like, do you know what I mean? I don't know, there's like weird connotations now with certain words. But I think it's just a joke that like so many brands don't cater for
the majority of women.
Yeah.
Of women.
Yeah, and you think, how much money are you losing? It's quite a stupid move for them.
It's so frustrating as well, because like, you know, as a plus size person, when you're trying to go in and you're trying to find something in a shop, you can't find anything in your size. And if you do, it's like a 3XL. And you're like, I know I'm bigger, but like, come on, like it doesn't help. And also, what's a very interesting thing with recent fashion, like fashions coming in at the moment, one thing that's really like in fashion at the moment is like the oversized look. So there are these slimmer women, and absolutely fine, you got money, you can buy what you want, but they're going in buying these oversized t-shirts that aren't supposed to be for them, like with air quotations, like as I said, you can buy what you want, I'm not making a comment on people, but then you do have larger women who go in and go like, oh, they actually might have my size here, they're supposed to have my size, and then the clothes are gone for you, and then you can't go oversized because they don't do that size, because that's deemed to be like too big or too fat or something like that. So it's really difficult to act. It's already difficult to find something for as a plus size woman. So then with all of these trends coming in, and like, it's great, people look so good. But one thing I've also struggled with my own body image is that what I keep catching myself going recently, I'm like, is it a fit? And the way I visualize it is that I go, this outfit would look good on a skinny person and they would be called fashionable. Therefore, it's a nice outfit. And then I'm like, okay, it's a nice outfit, it goes. I really shouldn't be like that. But it's like, there. So you can take like, you know, your baggy jumper, your flare trousers, and like you have two different things. And like, I can think, oh, this really doesn't look good on me. But I'm like, how do I wait? It's not because it's not a nice outfit, because my older sister, who is a smaller figure, will wear the exact same thing and she will look so good in it. So it's like, I just think that's a very interesting thing as well. I don't know. It's just like going through my head constantly whenever I'm like wearing outfits and stuff like that.
I think as well, like, I do think shops just scrap the whole medium, small, extra large, all of that. The
sizings just don't make sense.
It's not, because that also surely should be more accurate than to the averages of the country, but they're not. They're far from it. A medium is a 10 or a 12. Which is way smaller than the average.
Yeah.
And what I don't understand is also different shops and different brands, their sizings are all different. Mm. So I can be a size 14 in one shop and then a 20 in another. And I don't get that. Like I talk to like my male friends about this, and they're like, one of my friends was like, I go in to get a pair of jeans, I know that's like a 34 inch waist or whatever, I know I'm getting that size. You go in as a woman and get a small, medium or a large, extra large, you know, extra small, you're shut, like, you, all of my trousers are all different sizes. Yeah. Like, they're not the same. Yeah. And that makes no sense to me. Why can't we just figure out one thing and just have it to cater to everyone, you know? Frustrating.
Because we spoke about this in I think it was our second episode of season one. It was about like unreliable sizing and then our shopping experiences and stuff like that. And like, obviously we talk about Zara, and Zara is obviously a Spanish brand. So obviously their sizing is in parallel to the averages in Spain, which is usually of a smaller frame, small, like very narrow shoulders and stuff like that. However, what I feel is that if you internationally do something and your biggest consumers are probably like the UK or US, you should adjust your sizing to the averages of those countries, surely. Because if they're your biggest consumers, then you should do that. Because if, for instance, with Zara, they don't even do student discount, and students are obviously buying from there all the time.
They're probably the biggest like consumer party.
Exactly. And Topshop's gone, that's been bought by ASOS and stuff like that. So if Zara, which is the biggest high street brand at the moment, is using an XL and that's supposed to be a size 12, you've got to think to yourself, well, what is this doing to women's body image issues? Like, Do you know what I mean? Like, with Zara, like, again, we spoke about the lighting. The lighting's awful, so you're always going to feel really crap when you try things on, and the limited space in the thing, or when you go there and there's not enough of your sizes, or if there's a size, there's makeup on it, or whatever, like, that kind of stuff. And then you start having to resort to doing online shopping, because then you get this fear of going out shopping because you don't want to be, like, coming out to the lady and going, and she goes, oh, does anything fit? Or did you enjoy it, your experience? Or did you find it?
No, I did not.
Like, no, nothing fitted. And you'll get hot and sweaty. You just want to go home. It's the
worst experience. You get so irritated. Like, when I go out shopping, I don't, like, I'm one of those people, I don't really like going shopping in person. Like, I like going out for, like, a day. If it's, like, you know, all makeup stuff, like all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I love that. The clothes, the minute my mum goes, oh, go into the fitting room, try stuff on, I go, no, I don't want to, because I know what's going to happen. I'm going to go in, I'm going to go in with 10 things. I'll find two that are nice. And then the others, I'll get all hot, all bothered about it. Like, I will just then get irritated, and then I'll just be in a mood for the whole day. And I just, like, I want to go home, because I just, this isn't enjoyable whatsoever.
Because you're, like, shifting and shaking, like, all day after you've just been into that shop. You're shifting and shaking all the time. You never feel content. You never feel like, you feel like everyone's watching you and doing those, like, looks like, oh, she looks a bit hot, she looks a bit bothered, oh, her outfit doesn't look good. And there's always this competition that everyone's just weighing you up, or what you think is people are thinking about. And it's just this constant, non-stop, like, judgment. We've just got to stop.
Yeah. Agreed. I think, like, similar, we talked about Brian De Melville before, and, like, just had a realization just now, is that we were like, well, why are they only one size? That's only catering for a very small type of person that can only fit in that. But also, technically, then, actually, so many high street brands are doing the same thing, just with a couple more sizes in a bracket, but they're still cutting out a whole market. And it's just a bit of jokes on them, really, because they're just cutting out a massive amount of business there. I just don't understand why you would do that. I really don't get it at all.
Yeah.
I think that links in quite nicely as well to, like, other topics to do with body image. Just, like, I know from, like, dancing and things, like, and TikTok recently as well. Like, I would never usually say I was one to compare myself much on social media since TikTok. And now, I mean, there's some absolutely gorgeous people in the world, and I'm like, wow, yes, women. But then I'm like, me. And, like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know about you girls, but I've just compared myself so much more to people. And I know I'm doing it, and I'm like, stop, but I just am. I'm not sure why. I just am.
I think it's because it's there. It's, like, readily there on your phone. And, like, when you're at home, and, like, you're, so I think for me, I don't struggle with that as much, because I struggle with being in person, like, comparing myself to people. Plus, I'm on a very different side to TikTok. I don't get all of these beautiful dancers coming in doing that. My TikTok for you page is weird. But that's a talk for another time, honestly. But I think it's because you're there at home, and it's creeping in, because you can swipe for hours. I sit on my phone for hours, and then I talk to my friends, like, oh, what'd you do today? I'm like, TikTok. Like, that's all I've done. But it's just because it's there, and you're like, it's a very, like, the kind of what our beauty standard is. It's like, you know, the, like, skinny curvy girls, it's like one after the other, and, like, obviously no hate to them, they're beautiful people, but you sit there and you're like, oh, I don't look like that, you know. Yeah. And it does get in. But this is, like, a cycle we need to break. We need to stop comparing ourselves to others. We need to be like, oh, she's beautiful, she looks nice, but I also am beautiful, and I also look good.
Like, I am myself, and I can't change me, and that's a good thing.
I am authentically myself, and there is no one else like me. Yeah. No one else out there who looks like me, except for maybe my mum a bit. But, you know, no one else that looks like me, you know?
Yeah.
That's so true. But then we obviously, like, we talk about people that are, like, curvy or plus size or whatever, like, but it's like, even if you're skinny or slim, then you get called an airhead. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's nothing more going for you than your looks. So, like, it's the Instagram model. Oh, they're pretty, but there's nothing going on up there. And she had that constant, like, she could be an entrepreneur. She knows how to work those angles. She knows how to get those brand deals. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's
She's a businesswoman.
Yeah,
sis.
Exactly.
And because of the misogynistic world, we've had to use our looks to our power and our strengths in, and made ourselves look like that to gain our power in the world, because unfortunately that's how...
Because we haven't been given that other step.
Yeah.
Because that's also another thing I also catch myself doing. And like, it would be so important for young girls, like, to try and get out of the cycle that we were in when we grew up. When you look at another woman, it's like, oh, she's so beautiful. But it's not like, oh my gosh, she could be so intelligent. Like, yeah, the first thing you look at, and obviously I know it's difficult because like you see someone first, you know. But like, when you get complimented, like in like a kind of consensual compliment kind of situation, not being catcalled or anything like that, when someone's like, oh, you're so beautiful, it's like, thank you, that's lovely of you, and it boosts my confidence and my ego, definitely. Don't do it too much, my God complex will kick in. But you sit there and you go, well, what about, you know, how intelligent I am, you know, or like, you know, how I can do this and do that, like, you know, all of my skills. Like, why has it always got to be about my looks, you know?
So true. That's so true. But even like going back to TikTok and stuff, obviously there's a lot of podcasts coming out on YouTube that you can, like, and it's like something that I put in the background when I'm doing work and stuff. But even the people that are really famous on TikTok or have really built themselves or have gone viral and stuff are literally like, saying the reason why I am famous or why I've gone viral is because I'm a pretty girl. Do you know what I mean? There's like no attention on people that like exceed that kind of boundary. Like obviously you've got Ashley Graham and you've got Sienna. Oh, what's her name? She's this famous TikTok. She's now in the Hype House. Her name's Sienna, but she just did a collaboration with Ashley Graham because they're very, very body positive people that are very high in the industry at the moment, and they're trying to spread, but you don't hear about them. All you hear is the Alison Ray and the Charli D'Amelio and the Dixie D'Amelio all the time. It's just like, that's fair, go ahead, you do your thing, you do your dances, if that's what you're passionate, go. But what about the other people? What else are you feeding into?
I think that is such an interesting concept as well, like with TikTok and your For You page, the algorithm is giving you what you're watching more of. It's giving you what your screen, like what most of your screen time is and what you're liking. Yeah. So although, you know, like I'm sure Charli D'Amelio is a lovely girl, you know, great dancer. I think I've seen her like 3 times on my TikTok in the past year and a half. I just don't have that on my For You page because the things I'm interested in, you know, I'm really interested in kind of like activism and human rights and like all that kind of stuff. And also like my own little hobby is like the Marvel universe. That's like that other little thing that comes up. I have a lot of POVs and those are not PG. I will tell you that for sure. Some of them are wild and you're like 16 or 15. Please. Oh, but honestly, like I think in order to see what you want to see and like, rather than being like, oh, like, you know, I see all of this stuff, and you need to be searching for these things as well and like liking all these things. But it's so difficult when you get stuck into that TikTok algorithm, you know, when you get stuck on a certain For You page that you're not used to. It's very distressing.
Because then you go on all the videos that you like, you liking all the things.
You go back onto them. Yeah.
The side
of TikTok that I'm like not on is like, and that the side of TikTok I'm on joke about is like, it's called straight TikTok. So like it's all these like, you know, skinny blonde hair, blue-eyed white dancers going off on what, like having the time of their lives, good for them. But I get stuck on straight TikTok like sometimes, and I genuinely get upset. I'm like, oh no, I'm panicking now. Like I need to get back on my phone, back onto my saved videos and back on my likes. So I'm just like, oh, honestly. For You page is going to ruin my life.
I was talking about like Alison Ray and like Charli D'Amelio the other day to some of my friends, because I was like, honestly, I don't think they would have got the platforms they had if they weren't aesthetically pleasing to look at, you know? And it's the same because majority of the dancers they dance as well aren't even theirs. And obviously they tag the people that have done it, but
But they don't even do that all the time.
No. And a lot of the time I found the people that have created the dances are people of colour, and yet they've not got the platform that Charlie and Addison
deserve.
Have.
Exactly.
And yet they're not even the ones that are choreographing it. It's these amazing people behind the scenes, and why haven't they got that following? You know?
When you're in class and you tell a joke and then someone else tells slightly louder than you and then they get the laughs, and you're sitting there like, that was my joke. Stop.
So
I can't even imagine how frustrating it must be for these creators. And it's like, especially for like creators of color, like you already have to fight so much harder to get your videos up on the TikTok algorithm, because I mean, there's no doubt about it, it is slightly inherently racist as well. Yeah. Like, I've seen so many people that I follow who are people of color, they go, my videos always get taken down because it's like, you know, I can't, like, going against community guidelines, and they're like, I've done nothing wrong, I'm just talking about a topic that TikTok doesn't want me talking about. Yeah. And so the fact that they don't even, like, I know that they do tag them now and again, but they only really do it because they get called out for not doing it, because people go, Holloway, that's not yours, copyright, sis, like, give people credit.
Exactly. People would have to spend money and, like, be fined if they were copyrighted, so why is it any different
than
art? It's very strange.
Mm.
Like, similar with, like, the whole dancing thing as well. Like, I know Phoebe used to do dance as well, didn't you? And
yes.
We talked about it before, like, really comparing yourself in the mirror. And you just, like, even at school as well, like, all the girls were smaller. And then I just constantly think I was, like, in my head, I genuinely thought I was a whole lot larger than I was. And I look back at photos and I think, Emily, what the hell are you on about? But, like, in my brain.
Honestly.
In my brain, I was way bigger than them.
Yeah. Mm.
And
it's like, yeah, I completely get that.
You just compare yourself so much. And I think, I'm sure there's other hobbies and things that are similar, because you are, like, alongside these people and having to look in sync with them or whatever. And then if you don't physically
look like them, you stick out. Yeah.
And I don't know, I think also in, like, attire you have to wear for it, it's easy to compare yourself, because I remember in ballet class, like, some of the girls would be a whole lot younger than me, and I'd be stood there, taller, and, like, bigger than them, and just be like, oh my god, I'm a whale, when I'm willing to not at all, and it's like, I don't know, like, and also lighting in those studios is never good.
Oh, it's not fun.
And I don't know, like, I think lots of dancers start to talk about it, I've seen on TikTok in different places, just like, you do focus so much on your body image, and I'm sure that's the same for many other hobbies as well. And that's never fun either, because it's supposed to be your hobby and you're supposed to enjoy it.
You're supposed to enjoy it. Like I was saying this slightly earlier, when like I was doing like a dance exam, if it was a ballet exam, most of my exams I'd wear a leotard and tights and have my hair scraped up in a bun. I don't look great with my hair up. I wear my hair down all the time. It's what suits my face. It's what I'm comfortable with. So I hated having my hair up. I hated being in just a leotard. I felt so exposed. Mm-hmm. And then when I was in with my dance friends, like, I loved them all. They are of a slimmer figure than me. And so, like, it's so difficult going, you know, they look so good. And you're standing there in the mirror and you're just like, I just don't feel comfortable in this.
Yeah.
And then there were certain things, like, we weren't allowed to have our underwear showing, even though the examiner was female. So, like, I don't even know if it was an issue with that. But, like, the, like, examiner would be sitting there, but, like, girls, make sure your underwear doesn't show. And, like, it's like a sense of professionality. But it's like, I'm 14. Like, I don't really want to be taking my underwear off underneath this leotard, you know? Yeah. Like, because, like, and they were really high-rise leotards as well. Like, just high-rise. As someone who is, like, insecure about their body image, it's just not great, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, no diss to, like, obviously the whole etiquette of, like, the dance schools and stuff, because that's what you do. Like, that's the profession. That's what is expected. But it's still, it's difficult to kind of remove yourself from that mindset of, like, I look different, and then it moves on to other things. And, yeah, so I completely, like, agree with you on that, Emily. Absolutely.
I think, because as well, they're like holding your stomach and like
tuck your bum in and like breathe in and chin up, and it's just like,
breathe in, and then you're just like, and like,
I can't breathe, how can I dance if I can't breathe?
Yeah, oh well.
I never had this, because obviously I did try to do ballet, but when I was 3 or 4, I think they all lost hope with me. They gave me the part of being a tree. because I could just stand still with my hands up in tree-like ways, because I was used to prance around. Like, I was a gymnastics girl. I liked literally cartwheels, back bends, jumping over stuff, doing that, doing the bar whatsoever, being a monkey, really. And I just could not be bothered to just go and do leaping frogs and point my toes. I couldn't. So, honestly, cannot.
Did you not do your good toes, naughty toes?
I don't even know what that is. The only thing I know about my feet is when I ski and it's pizza or french fry.
Very good.
Yeah. But again, I can kind of resemble that, like when we were at school, like when we used to get our netball uniforms, or when we got our athletics track suits, or if we got our hoodies, like Levi's hoodies, there was always that pure panic that kind of went into my mindset, because you would all stand in line and say your sizes, and everyone was like, oh, 8.
I hate that.
8, mm-hmm. 10.
Oh, 6. And you're just like,
you were like, oh.
Hey. Yeah.
You're like,
hey.
And then you do the whisper thing. You're like, yeah. And they're like, sorry, can you say that louder? You're like, can I email you that? Because I just need to double check. And it's just like, I can't just say it. Do you know what I mean? It was
always. Why can't I just be like 14, you know? Yeah. Like, I'm 12. Why am I thinking about this when I'm 12? Yeah. Please leave me alone.
Yeah.
That's so true. Mm. It's crazy. It's literally with everything, though. Like, there's so many body image issues. When I go out, I never feel comfortable with what I wear. You know, when you feel like you're...
You always look so good when you go out, though, Amelia. I love your sense of style. Like, yeah.
Well, I appreciate that. But I just sometimes just don't...
Chef's kiss.
Mm. I appreciate that. I feel like it's definitely about the environment you surround yourself with. And it's definitely about... Again, this premise that we learn in life skills, and Emily loves to say, because it's such an important message about you surround yourselves with multipliers and additional people. You get rid of the dividers.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
Chapters. Because what kind of mindset do you want to be in if someone wants to divide the group and cause issues and cause you to feel negative?
It's bad.
That's why you were not.
I mean, I fully and truthfully can say that I have surrounded myself with, like, I was about to say dividers. Oh my God, no. Multipliers. And what was the other one? Additions?
Yeah, additions.
Yeah. But, like, the thing is, when you brought that up, I just remember, like, my other friend whispered over to me, and, like, obviously, like, just very jokey, she was like, you're a divider, go away. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, sure, so are you. But, like, although you can joke about it, like, you know, you want to build yourself up with these friends that are going to support you.
That's so true. And, like,
and I always felt so lucky with our friendship group as well. Like, I feel like we were such a good group of people.
Yeah.
And you'd see other groups as well, and you'd be like, oh, like, you know, they're like always arguing, and you're just like, why? Why would you spend time with these people if they don't like you or you don't like them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't waste your time anymore.
With our friendship group, though, Phoebe, is that we could actually generally have a conversation and build each other up and kind of.
And it's about anything as well.
It's about anything. It could be about a political thing, it could be about anything. And people will disagree. People will be stubborn, but at the end of the day, we're learning something.
But that's also good, because you want to surround. So, although in friendships, like, I think having like this, like the same base of like ideas, like you want someone who, you know, is a feminist and believes in equality and stuff like that. You want to surround yourself with those people, but you also want to be with people who do have a slightly different opinion to you, because then you get to. It means you're like moving further and further away from being kind of in this like state of ignorance. Like, you open yourselves up to other people's views. And I think that's super important.
Yeah, it is, though, because I just couldn't be in a group where the only thing that you could talk about was the party on a Saturday's events and talk about that for the whole week until the next party the next weekend. And I was just a bit like,
is that shade.
It is Shane. I'm sorry.
Oh, well. Conversations, bland ones. Like, the thing is, that sort of stuff, even, I'm going to sneeze, I can feel it in my bones. Bless me.
Bless you.
Thank you. I think with those sorts of conversations as well, I always said, like I'm one of those people that does get FOMO, but it's good to remind yourself that the events of a party can be caught up in about a 5 minute chat, and then you've basically been
there. And then you find out it's quite boring anyway. Oh yeah, this person got with this person. I was like, oh, that's inevitable. Next.
Next.
Go on. Next. Next bit of news.
Yeah.
Just like, okay.
I predicted that one. Mm. But I also feel like I always said this to so many people, be around or surround yourself with people that you would feel comfortable going to a pool party with.
Oh, that's a good phrase, you know.
I've never thought of that. Could you expand on that a bit more?
Of course. Of course.
Of course.
Because I watched this TV show, and it was called My Mad Fat Diary.
Yeah.
And I saw it on TV advertised, and it was around the time that Downton was happening on a Sunday. And it was always before then. So I was like, oh, okay, that's an interesting programme. And then I started watching it, and it was about this girl that had severe body image issues, and her mental struggles and her mental health issues and all of that. And it really was an intense program. I think it's an 18 because it's very intense. However, I think it's probably one of the best things I've ever seen. And there was this one scene where she was surrounded by a bunch of people because she was friends with this girl, and then she got a new friendship group because this girl had moved off because she went into a facility. And she goes to a pool party, and it's just with a couple of friends, and she was so nervous getting in the pool. And she would like wrap herself up in these like sarong and kimono kind of things. And then she was like, do you know what? I'm just going to go in the pool. I'm going to just go on the slide and just go down and just have fun with it and stuff. And I was like, that's so true. And everyone was like really like raring to go, like, yeah, go on in the pool. Let's go. Let's have fun. And that's why I always say to people that go and be surrounded by people that you will be positive around and feel comfortable getting in the pool with, because then you know there's no judgment. No one cares what you look like as long as you want to have a good time.
Because you just want to have a good time with your friends, you know? Please. You want to be with people who you don't have to be like, oh, are they going to say anything about what I'm wearing? Yeah. Unless it's positive, like obviously you want to hype each other up, you know?
Yeah, you look honestly great. Yeah.
You look so good.
That's such a good rule for like deciding who your good friends are that you're most comfortable around. Like, honestly, I sit here and think about like all my closest friends, and I'd be like, yeah, I would get in a pool with them and I'd be fine with it.
I have got in a pool with them and I've been fine with it, you know?
Yeah. And like people that you're not so sure about at the minute or whatever, like thinking about, that's such a good thing to think about. Thank you, Amelia.
You're welcome.
I love that. Thank you so much.
Because we've got to normalize our bodies and normalize bikinis and normalize cellulite
and differences, you know. Everybody's different,
like discoloration and like that pigmentation, and you know, jiggly bits, which are more fun because that means you enjoy life, because you enjoy chocolate and you enjoy crisps and you enjoy all the good things in life.
The cuddles are always elite as well. Why would you not want someone who's a bit more squishy, you know?
Yes.
Also, come here. Like, we need to remind ourselves as well that it's often organs.
Like, yes, my body protects my organs. My body keeps me alive.
Yeah, yes. Your skin is an organ too. And like I've always been so self-conscious about my lower stomach, and that's because my uterus is there. Like, if only they taught you that at school, that bump is uterus, and that's why.
But also, what I found out, and it's actually slightly embarrassingly late, that the uterus is like, it's like 7 centimeters big or something. Whoa. It's so, is it centimeter? Oh, I'm so bad at like measurements and stuff. It's like, the uterus is really small. And so like, I was like, oh, it's like this big thing. It's like the size of my hand. It's really not, it's tiny. And like, search it up, like obviously Emily and Amelia can see my hands going like pinching this size, but like, you know, but honestly, it's really small. And I was like, why did I not learn this? Like, why was I not taught this? I was like, how have I thought I was carrying around this like massive organ in my stomach? Yeah. I thought it was literally like that big, and it's not, it's like that big.
What the hell?
What a pain.
I don't know what it is, but on YouTube, every single creator I've watched is now pregnant. And I was like, and I watched them and I'm just fascinated by it, because they literally said, I have never felt more confident in my life, because it is super amazing what a female body can do and provide and that stretch out to be. And like,
you're literally growing another life inside of you. I don't get how people can, like, some people can think women are the inferior sex. Like, yeah. Your mother created you.
Yeah, yeah. Say that to your mum's face. I dare you. Say it to your mum's face. I bet you can't.
You know what? I did watch this video the other day that these mums dressed up and went to places that their sons had been catcalling women. And so their sons ended up catcalling their mums, and the mums took off the disguises and were screaming at them. The way these boys literally, like, went back to boy mode. Just like, I'm sorry, mum, I'm sorry. Like, I didn't know. Like, honestly, was like, go find it, it's so funny. But like, it's like, but it's so incredible how many people, like, one of them was like, it wasn't me, mum, someone shouted out of the car, like, fully was denying it. Like, it's like, we got you on camera, mate, like, we can see it's you. But honestly,
people just need to be checked, do you know what I mean? People need to, you know, check their behavior, because what's the point? Like, why waste your breath on a negative comment, do you know what I mean?
Exactly. When you could be uplifting everyone, you know, you could waste that breath and that energy on a positive comment and make someone's day in a non-creepy way, obviously.
Yeah. I think all in all, we'll be kinder to ourselves in future, and just need to, I think you need to focus on yourself like a whole lot more, because I think it's so, I just do this all the time. I'm a people pleaser. I think I've said this before. I just am. Mm. And so just take a moment in the day to check in with yourself.
Oh, I love that.
And be like, how am I today?
Yeah.
Remember, you just need to be your authentic self. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, like, you've got you, you know? Like, you're the one who has to live with your own life, with your own decisions and consequences. There's no point in being, like, obviously controllable, but there's no point in being unhappy in yourself. Like, just, I know it can be difficult, but just strive for it. You know, you want to be able to enjoy life. Yeah. And you're not going to do that with hating yourself and belittling yourself and making yourself feel bad. So as much as you can, love yourself.
Yeah.
Self-care. So important.
Oh, she's surrounded by people that are just so cool. I just made that so lame. It's so true, because one thing that I would definitely have learned, like, throughout my entire lifespan, I can officially almost say I've been around for 2 decades.
Whoa!
Wow! Yeah,
cut that check.
But like, literally, is sensitivity is not something to be ashamed of, and it is so important to be in touch with your emotions. And if someone calls you sensitive, or if someone says that something's not too deep, if it is, and you feel a sense,
communicate.
You've got to inform, or you've got to actually say, like, actually, that actually makes me feel really kind of crappy. Like,
setting boundaries is one of the best things you can do for yourself.
Boundaries.
Yeah. And I think, as well, since joining uni, I've become so much more aware of mental health as a whole. I was aware of it before, but you become into contact with so many different types of people, and you meet so many people that struggle with different things. And sometimes you've got to be really there for them, and that takes a toll on you yourself.
Yeah.
And particularly at like a young age as well, that we are, like, none of us are ever, like, we're not wise. We don't know everything, and we're allowed.
You may think we are, but
yeah, but we're not. And like, yeah. we everyone can struggle at times in their lives, and like, we're allowed to. And I think just, yeah, it's best to talk to people and find your ways to like help others, but also still support yourself. And like Phoebe said, like, no, you've still always got yourself. Like, even if friendships like come and go and things like that, like, you've still got yourself. And to be honest, in my mind, it excites me, like, knowing I've still got myself and I can work on myself for a bit. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
But I also, again, surround yourself with people that will pull you up on your crap.
Yeah.
Like how Amelia has with me, you know? Yeah, I am a multiplier for Amelia, all right, guys?
She is.
Amelia very much is a multiplier for me. I'm very, very lucky.
Yeah. She boosts me up. But the thing is, surround yourself with people that will pull you up on your stuff, and also surround yourself with people that have no judgment towards you. Mm-hmm. You know, feel like you could speak to them about everything. And I always feel like the best friendships are the ones that you can say anything and it's never going to go anywhere, and you can trust that person with your, like, it's again,
utterly and completely.
Yeah, like,
right. If I murdered someone, I would call Amelia and be like, "Hi, boo. You got any good body spots?"
But also, like, not filter anything you say. Do you know what I mean? You got to kind of sit there and go with your, like, best friend. Oh, I shouldn't say this to them because they might tell this person, or, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Don't surround yourself with those people. Yeah. It takes up so much effort and time to sit there and think, are they going to say this to that person? No. I want to be able to say something and be like, okay, that's fine. Yeah. Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah. Exactly. Walking on eggshells around people is just such a waste of time, one. Two, waste of energy. And three, there's a reason why you're doing it. You cannot fully trust this person. They've showed you, like, disloyalty or disrespect. That's why there is, like,
that mistrust there.
Yeah, even if it's unconsciously you're doing it, your suspicions go with your gut. Like, it's
always safe. Go with your gut, because you were right. Mm-hmm. You got to go with the tummy feeling. Oh. With everything, that tummy feeling.
Exactly.
Your gut is always right, just saying. Yeah. Like, honestly, the amount of gut feelings I've had, and I've gone, no, don't be silly, and then I've been right.
Give them a chance. If there were red flags from the beginning, if there are red flags from the beginning and you know that you're not going to like them from the beginning and something's going to go wrong, don't do it. That is the most important thing you will learn.
Just know that you are right, even if you don't want to believe yourself. You are right. You are right. You're not being paranoid. You're right.
Your future self will thank you.
Yeah.
That's actually so true. And guys, if you want Phoebe on another episode, maybe an episode about red flags. If you guys want to send us in dilemmas or send us in your situational based things, and we can talk about it and think, like, maybe have a laugh, get to know you guys or something. But your red flag,
that sounds so cute. I'll send in some of my own ones. It's when you'll be like, what the
No, I think that'd be cool. But if you guys definitely want Phoebe on, more than welcome to have
I would just like to say, listening to all of your podcasts are so, I love just putting them on and listening to what you guys have to say. I love them so much. And I know that people listening love them as well. So thank you so much for having me on. This has been absolutely so fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming on, Phoebe. Yeah. Thank you.
Anytime.
Thank you for not being awkward and actually, like, having stuff to say.
Yeah.
And be careful, because there's a lot of people that get on here and freeze up and, like, have nothing to say, or would only speak if spoken to, I guess. So,
no, I like talking a lot, so it's fine.
Yeah. Well, I think we should finish up with a cute little segment that we are bringing back.
Yeah, we are.
Since we're back, we're bringing it back. Do you know?
We're back, so it's back.
A game of would you
rather. Oh my God, you're back again.
What the heck is that? Would you rather? Yeah.
We love the energy.
Yeah. So who wants to go first?
Silence. It's like when a teacher's like, who's got their answers? And you're just like,
You know what? I'm going to ask it to both of you.
Oh, yeah.
We'll have a chat about it. This is going to be really random, but would you rather live in Antarctica, but you can have all your friends and family there with you?
Yeah.
Or live alone without any internet or anything, just like on a deserted island for the rest of your life, but like maybe like in your hometown, but like you can't see anyone else.
Antarctica.
Well,
I mean, I love a good bit of alone time. I do like that, because I am an extroverted person, but I really do appreciate my alone time. However, I don't think I could not see your beautiful faces again ever, you know. If you're there with your family and your best friends, what a laugh. Honestly, it's like a little community.
Yeah. But I mean, it's isolated with no tech, so that's technology or Wi-Fi. So then again, what would you do with your time? Because I like watching a good series, but I can't get on Netflix.
You could theatre, just make your own.
Yeah.
You know? We think for things.
Okay, yeah. Antarctica.
Amelia, if you don't want to see me again, that's fine. You just have to tell me, all right?
Yeah, it's noted, Amelia. Fine, all right.
Noted. It's down in my notepad.
Yeah. Let's note this, actually. I've got some notes in this session.
Oh, hey. I don't want to be on this call after. I don't want this session after. I'm kidding. No, that's a good question, Emily. I appreciate it.
I liked that one.
Antarctica is my thing. I want to be surrounded by the ground.
Are you going next, Amelia, or is it me?
Do you mind? You're the guest.
Okay, I'll ask both of you again. All right, I feel like mine's a similar style. My question was, would you rather have to live the rest of your life in the wilderness or the rest of your life in prison? It's a bit somber, isn't it?
I think I'm gonna say wilderness. Reason being, open space and a bit more freedom. Because prison, you are so confined to such a place, and it's scary in there. And I will just
and the conditions are not great either.
No, wilderness is also scary, but I think you should be more free.
Yeah, I feel like you can channel your inner Bear Grylls. Do you know what I mean?
However, I don't think I could go around eating bugs.
No,
you'd adapt. It'd be fine.
I think it would be adventurous. I'd maybe make friends with a lion.
Wow!
I'm gonna go for a panther.
Oh, panther!
Actually, an elephante because they're the most dangerous.
You might be trampled. You might not live in the wilderness because you might be dead, but...
Not true. I have to make friends with the baby. I'm going to be best friends with the baby and the mum will have to accept me because we're inseparable.
Okay. She could be like, go over my baby and then like...
Yeah,
and then
your dinner. Mowgli, isn't it? I'll be a Mowgli. Mm. Mowgli. Yeah, I would go wilderness, I think.
Very interesting.
Do you want me to go next?
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
No, I don't.
Yeah, I think we're just going to end up here, right?
We're setting the episode here. No, go on.
Wow, talk about female positivity and we're all getting big over here.
We're getting tired.
All that positive energy just going down the drain. I'm kidding. Would you rather travel the world with your best friend... but just your best friend, or party every weekend with your friends? When I mean friends, like not close friends, not anything, just friends, but not with your best friend. You just don't see your best friend.
Travel. I mean, Amelia, we already want to go around Italy. Come on.
God, I you know. I'll tell you a funny story. Me and Phoebe, when we FaceTime for about 5-6 hours. Like
5-6 hours. Yeah, it is every like 3 months. We don't FaceTime like every week or anything.
Yeah.
But like it is a good 5-6 hours.
5-6 hour chat. And one time I got the Atlas out. And I
did.
I got
a point.
Italy. Yeah. I did a random generator of where we're going to go in Europe. It landed on Italy. Got the Atlas out and now we've made like a route around Italy. So I guess traveling is the best option.
Yeah,
traveling is the best
That's
option.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Mm.
You're more than
you know, because we're gonna finish uni at the same time.
So it's just perfect timing.
Yeah,
I didn't want to awkwardly like wiggle my way in there, but may I come?
come along. Absolutely.
Rome. We're going to Rome.
Rome. Yeah. Milan. Florence, like we're going all to all the major cities, and then I would like to go to like northern Italy, like countryside, like Umbria. I don't know if you've ever been to Umbria. Beautiful.
Ooh.
And I don't know about you, but I'd like to find myself some Italian men, so yes please.
Lovely. Okay, let's end it there.
Don't listen to this.
Oh, I was thinking ice cream, but that's okay.
Oh, the food
I'm there for both. I'm there for all of it.
team player.
Oh, thank you very much for coming, Phoebe. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me. This has been so fun.
Thank you for watching, you guys.
Yes.
Well, listening, I mean. And sorry we've been away for a while, but we're back. We're home to go, and more guest starring people. And obviously, Phoebe will be back soon. So.
Oh, love that. Excited to see who else will be coming.
Yeah. Ooh. Well, thank you very much, guys. And we'll meet you at
the Drama Block.
Bye.